Good morning. How are you guys? I love that you guys are here. I love being here. I hope you guys enjoy being together. I don't know if you think about it much, but look around. Look around at the people around you, right? This is going to be part of the gang that we're going to be spending like the rest of eternity with, right? So this is a pretty good group, you know? This is what we, you know, I enjoy that. Enjoy seeing you guys each week and just spending time together. Hey, before we get started, before we get into our scripture for today, I want to begin this morning with a story. And our story begins with three words in the beginning. Now, three times in the story of scripture, the story of the Bible, three times we come across those three words in the beginning. The first time, once it's in the beginning of creation, at the beginning of Genesis, where it tells about how our Creator God created us and everything else that we know. Amen? That's how our story begins. The second time we find this is in the beginning of the story of Jesus, in the book of John, where it tells about how our Savior God came to us to rescue us. But he came also so that he might make himself known to us, became visible to us, and so that we might know him, truly know him. Amen? Third time is a place that many people don't know, but it's in the our passage for today. It's in the book of 1 John, where John, again, the same one who wrote the gospel, he is an eyewitness of Jesus, and he remembers all this thing, and he's carrying this story with him, and he's reminding us of our invitation into this new creation that God has offered to us, this new creation called eternal life. And we're going to be looking at that today. We've been in a series last several weeks on spiritual gifts, but we're gonna kind of find an anchor point today for that whole topic. And it's something really important. I think I went away last week. There were some things that struck me, and I wanted to touch on those today. Now, this story begins with the words "in the beginning," because in the beginning, God was always, he was already there. He was already there, the same as he's going to be there long after the end of what we know as time and space. And the same way, and we need to remember this, the same way that he is there in every when and where and how and why that happens between the beginning and the end, right? And we need to know that for our lives, because God is with us. He's with us today. He's with us in our questions and in our wonderings. And the thing that he wants us to know about him in all that time, the thing he wants us to know is that he is not this solo standalone God, you know, this God who's angry and sitting up on the top of some heavenly mountain, you know, hurling thunderbolts, trying to get rid of all the other kind of rival gods and not knowing what to do with this headache that he calls human beings, right? That's not the God he wants us to know. No, our story starts out and it says, in the beginning was this God. And this God was the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to know that, you know what? From eternity past to eternity future, the Father loves the Son and loves the Spirit. And the Son loves the Father and loves the Spirit. And the Spirit loves the Father and loves the Son. And that, them together, that was enough. That was enough. Their love was enough. They didn't need anything else, because in that love has found joy and has found peace and has found this kindness and this goodness and has found a rest and a settledness. And so God didn't need anything else. But it was out of that not needing anything else, it was out of that fullness that he then determined to create. It was out of that fullness that he created. And he created a world, yes, but more importantly, he wanted to create, to bring into being a creation that then he could invite into that same life, into that same fullness, into that place of rest and peace and enough. And he wanted to invite that creation. So our Creator, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he created a space for us first, and then he created us, and he placed us in that space, and he invited us to walk with him. While we lived in that space, he invited us to walk with him in that life and experience that life, but instead of choosing that life, we chose a different lie. Right? I mean, the two are really close. There's one letter that separates those words, but there's a vast world of difference. And we chose the lie that he wasn't enough. The lie that this life that he offered wasn't enough. The lie that maybe somehow this God who had created us with the one intent, the sole purpose of bringing us into the fullness of the life that he knew and experienced, that God, that somehow he was holding out on us. And the lie that somehow there was more to be found about life and of life apart from the God of life than there was to be found in him. And so we went away. We left him, and we tried to be enough for ourselves. And many of us have lived those lives where we've tried to be enough for ourselves. And it's then that we discover the meaning of words like loneliness, fear, hatred, distrust, envy, jealousy, brokenness, violence, pride, and poverty. Because our lives are never enough. We weren't created to be enough. And sometimes we try and pull people in to make it enough or stuff in to make it enough, but it's never enough because we were created to be invited into the life of God, the only life that'll ever be enough. That was the purpose of creation. But without him, there's always something missing. But then thanks be to God because this God, who doesn't sit apart from us, who doesn't complain about what a nuisance we are, this God who loves within just the community of the three, but also this love that wanted to spill over and bring us into it, this God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he wasn't satisfied that his creation would be somehow kept separate from this invitation that he had made to us of life. And so this God came. He came like a shepherd to find us. He came like a doctor to heal us. But most of all, he came like a son in the power of the Spirit to make known to us the love of the Father, the very love that had initiated and compelled our creation. You guys, that's the thing that when we stand and we're going to read this passage out of 1 John, but that's the thing that John, an eyewitness of Jesus, a follower of Jesus in the first century, that's the thing that John couldn't get out of his mind and out of his heart until the day that he died. And so every time he'd start writing, he'd always go back and he'd say, in the beginning, remember, do you remember the beginning? Do you remember why God even started this thing? And the love that initiated the work that we saw and the life that we saw in Jesus. So with that story in mind, with that beginning in mind, I want us to stand. We're going to read the words that John wrote in 1 John 1, 1 through 3. And listen to this invitation. Listen to this passion that he has. That which was from the beginning, that which was in the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have examined, which we have even touched with our hands. I'm talking about God's message of life. That life was revealed to us, and we have seen, and now we testify and proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and was revealed to us. And we proclaim to you what we have seen and what we have heard so that you might share in it with us. For we share in it with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You guys, we've been in a series the past couple of weeks on spiritual gifts. But last week it struck me that, you know, there is only one context that those gifts make sense in. There's only one context that the Spirit of God who gives those gifts makes sense in. And there's only one context that the community of the people of God called the church that benefit by those gifts makes sense in. And that's in the context of this living, this vital, this real relationship of being drawn into the very life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then living a life that reflects that same kind of love and that same kind of reality that they have been sharing from eternity past and will share into eternity future. It's the only context that these make sense in. And so these gifts that we talk about, the gifts of the Spirit, they emerge out of that. That's where they find their source. That's where they find their character, where they find their nature. That's where they find their purpose. So as we talk about gifts, it's important that we go back to the beginning. We go back to that foundation. We go back to the base and we say, okay, so what is this whole thing? What is this really? What is it about? Where does it begin? This morning's message is titled, In the Beginning. Let's pray. Father, in the course of our lives, God, first, I just want to thank you. You're here. You're here right now. You have, from before time began, your desire in all of creation was that we would know you, that we would come into being and have the capacity and the ability that you have woven into us in creation to know you and to be brought into this life. And you've brought us there. Through Jesus, you've brought us there. And you're constantly making yourself known to us in the world we live in, and the beauty that surrounds us, that it says it just shouts with your voice. The line that goes out even in the heavens just shouts your praise and who you are. That in the things that we see, we see glimpses, we get touched by something that's behind that, something that's invisible, something we can't see. But this is a reality that all of this stands on. That's you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the community that we call God, the one God, three persons, who is now reaching out in time and space to invite us and to draw us into that same life, that same experience, that same community, that we might know how to love you and that we might know how to love each other the way that you love. So God, this morning, there's so much that can clutter our minds. There's so much we can bring in from a world that's shaped by the lie that you don't exist, that there was no purpose, that there was no community, there was no communion, there was no God, there was no Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no purpose to all of this. The lie that somehow we just are struggling, we're just kind of trying to make it on our own, that lie that becomes very empty and very lifeless. God, and there's so much of that that just, it's almost like when we come in, it's like the disciples of Jesus, we just got to wash our feet off. We've been walking around in it. Jesus, we need you to just wash our feet off with your word and remind us about the beginning. Remind us about the foundation. Remind us about the source and the place where it starts. So, Father, we're here with open ears and eyes and hearts to hear your voice. Holy Spirit, you're here with us. So teach us, show us, reveal, make known. Make Jesus known in this place. Father, we pray this so that we might know you, that you might be lifted up and honored. We pray these things in your name, for your glory, Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. So if you think about that story, by definition then, what does it mean to be a Christian? Christian is one who lives a life of confidence, right? Confidence, because we know that God loves us. And we know that he is not just able, but he's willing. He's desiring to use us and to show himself through us. We live a life of contentment because we know that whatever comes our ways, we know that when we look at it, we can see the hand of God behind it. We know that we see the protection of God around us in it. We live a life of consciousness of God's continual presence. with us. We live to be a Christian is to live a life of compassion for those who don't experience this life, because we know that we are all created to know this life. We live a life of that's compelled to do whatever is necessary, whatever means are necessary to invite people into this experience of this amazing life, this God, this community, this communion with our Creator, our Savior, our friend, our Father, our Lord. So this is the definition of what it means to be a Christian. So, I mean, this is just a bottom line, because these are the reflections of the character of this life of God that we know he was sharing. This is kind of the outgrowth of this life that he shared beforehand. So to live that life is to live in those ways, but on a weekly basis, right? On a daily basis, how many of us come to a point where we go, how in the world am I supposed to live like that kind of Christian with any kind of consistency, right? You guys, when the kids are driving you up the wall, right? When your spouse is driving you up the wall, right? When you can't find your keys and you're already late for your class, and you know today is test day, right? When you've been investing in some client and some for your company, and you've been investing for months and months and months, and then out of the blue for no reason they decide to go a completely different direction, and it threatens your career, it threatens your self-esteem. All of a sudden everything surrounds you. Or what about those times when a friend betrays you, or when that darkness inside of you that you wrestle with regularly opens up and it threatens to consume you with fear or with anxiety or with depression or with anger or with lust or with compulsion or addiction. All those things that we deal with because we're broken people who have tried to make our way without God in a world that's become broken because we've gotten off track. And in those times we say, man, who in the world could ever live like a Christian by that definition? Confidence and contentment and consciousness of God's presence and compassion for who could do that with any kind of consistency? According to that definition, so we usually settle for lesser kind of definitions, right? We usually will alter the definition so it's more attainable. But in doing that, what we do is we trade the life that God shared, that God has offered, that he has invited us into, we trade that for some other kind of a life. We trade that for a life of like a religion or a spirituality, you know, something that really is lifeless. Because it's not the life that God intended. It's just another form of living that life without God, trying to be enough in ourselves. And so regularly we have to look, and God wants us to ask the question, what life are you living out of? What life are you living out of? What life are you anchored to and you find is the foundation of who you are? You know, when I was in high school, we were going on a trip to Disneyland with the group I was in, and so we had to raise some money. So we did this one fundraiser, and it was called a rockathon. Now, a rockathon is where you go and you ask people to sponsor you, you know, to raise, and usually it's just friends and family, so they would give you the money for the trip, but the truth is, you know, you're going to do something to earn it. And so they'll give you money to go in the church or in the school gym and to stay up all night rocking chairs. So you're rocking all night in the rockathon to raise money for this trip, right? So we were all there, and as exciting as all that sounds, you guys will be surprised to know that there were some people that were having a hard time staying awake, right? And so they had brought all kinds of different things to try and help them out. Now, some people brought no-dos. Now, if you don't know what no-dos is, if you can, some of you guys remember, but some, if you took Red Bull and you boiled it down to its main ingredients, right, and you made it into a pill, because it's just basically a shot of caffeine, and, excuse me, and so they would just, they'd get a little bit sleepy, and they just pop in this caffeine pill, and so you'd watch them. And they'd be like groggy. And then for 15 minutes, man, they are rocking the night worth, right? They're like, woohoo, this is great. And they're running around seeing everybody and go, guys, you know, 15 minutes. And then they hit that cliff, right, that you go off. And then, boom, they're gone for 2 hours. You know, they're out. They might be gone for and what you found was that these pills, they get less and less effective, right, over time, because the next time it may be 10 minutes, and pretty soon you have somebody popping a pill. They're lasting like 30 seconds, right, and they're out. How many of you guys have felt at times that your Christian life is kind of a version of that kind of no-dose buzz, right? You're trying to pop this God pill, and there's different forms of it, right? Sometimes it's the force of will pill that we pop in. We go, I'm going to change. I'm going to start going to church, and I'm going to start reading my Bible, and I got to start being a better person, right? And sometimes it's that guilt and shame one, you know, where you're just like, I guess I don't want to go to hell, so I better go to church, right? You guys, that's not the life that God invited us into. It's not that life where these things that they'll give us a buzz, because those things are so short-lived. You're even the will. I mean, people with the strongest will, you get to the end of it, and then you crash. And then you find that you crash, and then there's this time that you're just gone. You're out. You're out of commission. And it might be weeks. It might be months. It might be years. And then finally, you feel guilty enough to go back. Or you feel like, no, I can do this, and you go take another run at it. But it's like that no-dose, that caffeine pill. And that's not what God invited us into. What is the life that God intended for us? That's not the life, think about it. That's not the life that God shared from eternity past. That's not the life that inspired creation so that he could invite others in. What a horrible thing to invite people into. Okay, need another God pill, right? That's not what he offered to us. You guys, throughout the Bible, we get these pictures that God gives us. And regularly, because of the world that we live in, we have a need of protection. We have a need of safety. And so God presents himself. He shows himself. He gives us these pictures where he is this place of safety and refuge, right? So it may be that he says he is a shelter in a time of storm, or he is the rock that doesn't move, that's solid, or he's this inaccessible height where no one can reach us. Or maybe it's where he shows us that he is that companion on our side and our protector, or he is that father that holds our hands so that when we stumble, we don't fall. Or maybe it's that he is that mentor that prepares us for the battles and the challenges that are to come. But one thing that you notice in all these passages when you read scripture and you read this description of God as our protector, as our refuge, and this especially comes out at the end of Matthew, where Jesus says, you know, he's like this rock that we build our house onto. But you find that when he says, build your house and anchor it to the rock, he doesn't say, wait till the storm comes and then try and get out there and build your house on the rock, right? He doesn't say, wait till the enemy is swooping in through and crashing your borders and then try and set up that place of refuge and find that place in me. Instead, he says to us things like, abide in me, right? Remain in me. Set up your home in me, your dwelling place, your home base. Because he wants to be our default. He wants to be that place we go every single day of our lives. He wants to be that place that's our home base, not that storm shelter. You know, did you guys ever grow up with storm shelters? Or maybe it was the cellar of your house, and you go down there, and it's just cobwebs or everything. It's creepy, right? It's dark, it's damp, because nobody's down there most of the time. Right? And in between emergencies, nobody bothers. The only thing that could drive you into a storm shelter with all this creepiness would be the fact that a tornado's coming. But God doesn't want to be that storm shelter that gets no use. He wants to be our home. Because that life that he has offered us is the life that he offers us, he gives us so that we can live in it. And that we can experience the life that he has known, that he has enjoyed. He offers it to us because he likes this life, right? He loves this life where the Father loves the Son and the Spirit, and the Son loves the Father and the Spirit, and the Spirit is loving the Father and the Son, and where there's this kindness and this grace and this joy, this companionship. He loves that. He's saying, so abide in me, live in me. And he says, if you'll do that, he says two things will happen. One thing that will happen is that as you, even in the good times, you'll find that you'll grow in depth of understanding, of knowing him, and also experiencing this life and this contentment, this satisfaction, this rest, this joy. It will grow in depth as you spend time with him. But the second thing that will happen is that you will experience a deepening and greater confidence and peace even when the hard times come. That if the roots go down during the good season, you can bet that when the storm hits, it's not going to topple over. The house isn't going to get washed off the rock because the foundation is strong enough, is good enough. And those things, they're not great enough to even touch the life, to touch the community, to touch the protection and the grace that there is within this relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that he's brought us into to share with each other. You know, a verse I remember my dad often quoting throughout my life is found in Isaiah 26:3. It's, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, fixed on you, because he trusts in you. And I remember when I was a senior in high school and we had a house fire and we're standing there watching, and it was in the garage and it looked like the whole house was going up. The fire had spread across the whole front. It looked like the house was consumed. Thankfully, it wasn't, but standing out there, you wouldn't have known any different because there were flames everywhere. They seemed to be pouring out of everywhere in the house. And after it was over, they went and they kind of started pressing in with some questions to my mom and dad, you know, asking them if they had anything to do with this thing. Because as this house seemed to be completely engulfed in flame, they were just standing out in the cul-de-sac where we lived, holding hands and just watching what looked like our whole lives going up in flames with a calm that they seemed to think was a little too great for someone who's watching their whole life burn to the ground. And I was watching that. I was like, you know, I knew where it came from, because in the good times, God had been their shelter. They hadn't just run to God in that moment. They were able to stand out there and say, well, we have all the things that matter the most. He gave us everything that we have. If he wants to give us more, he'll get it to us. If we don't need it, it's gone. And there was this calm because their life wasn't found in that stuff. Their life wasn't found in that moment. Their life was found in him, and he kept them in perfect peace whose minds were stayed on him because they were trusting in him. Why do we spend time each day? Why do we spend time each day? Why do we take time? Why do we make time? Why do we invest time each day in studying God's word so that we might know it better? Why do we take time each day? Why do we make time each day to just be with God and not just lay out for him the list of things that we have, but listen for him to see if he has things to speak, to say to us in ways to guide us? Why do we take time to fill our minds with God's word and to memorize, to train our minds to think his thoughts after him? Why do we gather with his people on times like this so that we can just give to him the praise that he deserves and remember what he has done and be reminded of who he is? Why do we take time to be with each other and invest time in the lives of other people that we don't even know sometimes? But we gather with God's people, we go out and we say, you know what? There's something better they need to experience. Why? Why is it considered something better? Why do they need to experience? Why do we need to be involved in that at all? Because we know that establishing our life in God, our life in this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and our life establishing ourselves in the life that He has given to us, and He's offered to us, that life that we will experience from now into eternity, we know that investing in that does two things. One, it reminds us of who we really are. It reminds us of the life. It tells us of the life that we were really called to and we were meant for and created for. But two, that when the things of this life do come crashing against us, we'll know what's solid and what won't shake. We'll know. We will be in perfect peace because our minds will be fixed on Him, because we will trust in Him. The rest doesn't matter. It seems like it mattered. Doesn't it seem like it matters, right? Doesn't it get overwhelming at times and you go, it sure seems like it matters, right? Sure seems like this one's going to take me out. But yet He invites us into this place of safety. It's nothing less than Himself, nothing less than this life, this community that was before time began and will last long after the end of it. You guys, the gifts and callings of the Spirit are a part of that life, right? When we talk about spiritual gifts, we're not talking about things that we just put on for a moment and they give us a buzz for a time and then we leave and we live our real lives. We're not talking about that. We're talking about something that emerges out of the life that we know God has called us into and that He has made available to us in Jesus Christ. Outside of that context, they don't make any sense. Outside of that context, this community of people doesn't make any sense. But we are the people of God who have been called into the life of God for the purposes of God. And He equips us to make not just Him known, but to make that life known among us. Amen? So I want to close. I want to just give you three questions for maybe three different sets of people who might be in here this morning. The first question is this. Are there those of you, any of those of you who are here who don't know this God? Not that God. You may have heard of a God. But you don't know that God. You don't know that life. Maybe you've never heard that kind of life was even available. That's what eternal life is. You didn't know that God had invited you into that kind of sharing of life with Him and sharing of life with each other. So the question is, here we are in all of creation. It says that all of creation, the whole purpose of it was to get you to this place so that you might hear the invitation of God to be brought into that life, not to have a better life here, not to make everything go perfect here, not to stop all the storms, but to be brought into that life that is the shelter from those storms. That communion with Him and with those He loves, that communion that becomes that protection from the things that all that the world can throw at us, all that the brokenness can throw at us. And that is all about, it's all about relationship. It's not about religion. It's not about getting a better list of rules that will help you live a better and more successful life. It's not about that. It's not about heaping yourself with this weight of guilt that will make you do better. But will make you do better in this isolation where you go to your dying day trying to impress and somehow gain the favor of this God and earn this God's love who has offered it to us freely. So here we are. We're the Father. The Father, He loves the Son and He loves the Spirit, but He's also saying He loves you, right? And the Son, He came to die because He loves the Father and He loves the Spirit, but He also wanted you to know He loves you. And the Spirit, He's here and He equips His church. Why? Because He loves the Father and He loves the Son, but he also wants you to know he loves you. He loves you. They love you enough to want to pull us, and us enough that they want to pull us in to this life that's offered, this life that they have known. So the question for you this morning is, if you haven't known that life, if you haven't known that God, if you haven't even known that invitation that was yours, are you willing to take, do you desire, will you take that invitation that he is offering you this morning? Because it really is just a matter of he has offered it and is turning to him and saying, God, don't know what all this means, but yeah, I want to say yes to your invitation to be part of your life, your community, the purpose of everything. Yeah. If that's you, I encourage you to just have that simple, honest conversation with God. I'm not going to say that all of a sudden you're going to understand everything about it. It's like being born, right? You started as a kid. I was talking the other day about flailing around, and all of a sudden you go, wow, that's my hand, right? There are times in your Christian life you're going to be going along, and you're going to, oh, that's me, right? And you're going to grow up like every, and you're going to learn more about this life, and you're going to grow into it. But you begin at that point where you just say, yeah, God, that's what I want. If that's out there, that's what I want. Second, maybe there are some of you here, or there are those of you who are here that, yeah, you've heard this, God, you know this thing, but you're not living in that life, right? You're kind of holding on to Jesus, but you're still trying to make this lie part work. This part where you can be enough for yourself, even though you have the backup plan with Jesus. He's your storm shelter, right? But he's not your home. And again, I can't tell you all the details of what that means, but you're not experiencing life. You're not experiencing, and you're not going to grow in the joy and the depth of your knowledge of God, and you're not going to grow in the life that he intended, that he created you for, designed you for, brought you into being to know. You're not going to know that if you're not living in it. So the question for you is, are you willing to make God your default instead of just this option? What will it take? Well, it'll take investment of some of your time and some of your effort, and it'll take where you intentionally carve out time to be with God and to listen and to spend time with him and to be in his word. It'll take letting go of some of the worry and believing that, man, God, if I anchor into this, he says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all this other stuff that worries you so much, he'll be taking care of it. If you choose to follow him, it doesn't mean that things are going to get perfect, but life will not have to crush you. So are you willing to make God your default? Because that too, that's a pretty simple switch. He's given us this thing called a will, and he says, just decide. Make the decision to make him your Lord, your Savior, your default, your home base, and to enter into the life. Because, you know, if you don't, you're not experiencing salvation. I'm not saying that you're not going to be saved. I don't know. That's between what's ever gone between you and God. But you're not experiencing the life now that he intended you to experience, which is like a preview of what's to come, of the fullness of what's to come. So ask yourself, you know, what do you need to do? Are you willing to take his invitation to enter fully into this life? You guys, one of the things that prompted this last week was I was thinking, and I've had conversations with people that have come through even the churches that I've pastored in, and they've gone out and they've abandoned kind of their faith, their Christianity. They just jettisoned the whole thing, and they said it was because, you know, some of them would give this story like, oh man, I picked up this thing that was just this burden, and it was such a relief to get rid of it. I said, man, I do not want anybody that comes through the ministry here at church, at Christ Church, that spends any time here at all. I would hate to have anybody leave this place and not have the reality that I know that God gives to us of life in Him. That they walk out of here somehow with this religion that just crushes them, that becomes just one more thing that they have to do. They walk out of here with this weight of guilt, of they're just failing because they don't understand that God doesn't care about the failures. He cares about the direction and you pressing into this life and growing into who He's called you to be. I would hate for anyone here, even this morning, to walk out of here not realize that this is life He's calling us into. Jesus says, come to Me, all of you who are weary and are heavy, burdened, and I'll give you rest. Why? Because He's inviting us into His life. He's not inviting us into some other thing. So will you take Him up on that invitation to not just have Him as a safety valve, but to have Him as your home base, as your default, as your dwelling place? Because in that, there's life, there's joy, there's freedom. The third is, there may be some of you here that are living that life and you're growing in it. And you found that relationship with Jesus. You found that He is your default, and you don't just run to Him in the hard times. You are growing in Him. But as you abide in Him, He says that the Spirit will give you opportunities to grow. And that question for you is, are you taking advantage, full advantage of the opportunities that God opens up for you to grow deeper in this life? So, for example, last week I had you guys just reach over, right, and lay your hand on someone and just speak a blessing over them. And I said, you guys can do that anytime. So how many of you guys have blessed somebody this week? I mean, literally gone up and just blessed them. Why? That's an opportunity every single day, every single Sunday for sure. Who's going to get mad at you if you go up and say, can I just speak God's blessing over you? I wouldn't. Would you guys be angry if somebody said, hey, can I pray for you? Can I not just list, but can I bless, speak God's blessing into your life? No. So you who know Christ and have been brought into this word, lean into the things that He opens up. Now, we're talking about spiritual gifts, and the last thing I want to tell you about is, so at the 10:30, during that time, Pastor Cheryl is going to be leading a discovery class about these spiritual gifts. And I want to tell you guys are at the 9, so you could be there. And she doesn't care if people walk in, but if you have the time, if you don't have just a pressing need driving you home, right? I'd encourage you to be there. Why? Because that is how we grow. We lean in, we learn, we give the Spirit says, here's an opportunity. We say, okay, I'll take that. And we grow. And we grow in the depth of our understanding, the depth of the confidence, and the depth of understanding this life that God invited us into, this life that was from the beginning. We're reminded again, yeah, don't get caught up in the religion. Don't get caught up in the learning and the facts and the knowledge. No. Instead, go back in the beginning. Remember that. In the beginning, God and His love for you. Amen? Amen.